Well, good morning, everyone. If you watch the TV show QI, you may know that a feature of that programme is pointing out things that we thought we knew all about, but it turns out we don't. So they might ask the question, where was the Battle of Hastings fought? And the answer, it turns out, is not Hastings. It was just outside Hastings, in a place we've now called Battle. Or the question might have come, how many moons does the Earth have? And again, instinctively, we want to say one. The answer, it turns out, is many more than that. There are lots of little mini-moons circling around us that we don't even notice most of the time. I mention that because we're looking this morning at the issue of hospitality. It is something the Bible consistently and repeatedly urges us to be doing. And yet, if I asked us to define it, I suspect most of us would probably get the answer slightly wrong. It's one of those things we tend to think we know about when we might not. And of course, the danger there is if we think we've understood something when we haven't, we might think we're honouring God with it when in fact we're not. We tend to think hospitality is having people round every now and then. In the Bible, and the word literally means loving the stranger. And it's something that takes us right to the heart of who God is and what we are to be about as his people. It's a key part of our one another ministry that we are called to in the New Testament. And so it's a good thing for us to think about this morning on a congregational Sunday, our hospitality to one another. So let's pray as we begin. Our Lord Jesus Christ, you are the head of this church. We derive our life and our health and our strength from you. And we pray this morning that we would be led by you. We pray that we would become like you. And we pray that we would bring honour to you. Amen. Amen. Well, as we think about hospitality, three headings for us this morning. Firstly, the importance of hospitality. Then we're going to think about the impetus for hospitality. And then finally, some thoughts on the practice of hospitality. So firstly, the importance of hospitality. There's a lot on this in the Bible. Last week we started a series in Proverbs. My original plan had been to look at different Proverbs on the theme of hospitality. There's lots in the book about showing hospitality to strangers. But I actually think it might be good for us to step back a bit, given this is Congregational Sunday and we're thinking chiefly about our hospitality to one another. It struck me there are some very important things in the New Testament that we should be looking at. And it may surprise you, as it has surprised me, to see just how significant a thing hospitality really is. We're going to look at a few different verses. They're going to come up on the screen as we go through. But here are four things you may not have known about hospitality in the New Testament. Firstly, it's a command. Look at these words from Romans chapter 12. Paul writes, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality." Notice, Paul puts it up there with praying and with giving to the needy. It's that important. It's up there with maintaining our own zeal for God. And notice too, it's a command. It's not just something that's nice to do from time to time if you feel so minded. It's not an optional extra. It is something all of us are to be practicing. And in fact, hospitality is like many things in the New Testament. It's something that some people will be particularly gifted in, and yet which all of us are responsible for doing. So think of evangelism. All of us in the New Testament are called to speak for Christ. And yet it's also true to say that God has raised up some people in particular to have a special ministry in evangelism. Or think about teaching. The New Testament says we're all to teach one another, to share our spiritual insights with one another. And yet there will be some who have a particular vocation to teach. That will be their main ministry. And so too with hospitality. there will be some who are naturally very, very able to do this. It may well be the main way God uses them. But the fact remains, it is an obligation for all of us. We are commanded to practice hospitality. Second thing, hospitality is an attitude. 1 Peter, we saw from our second reading, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another. And then Peter adds, without grumbling. It's very easy, isn't it, to offer hospitality through gritted teeth, to do it as a mere duty just to tick the box. It's often been said hospitality is the art of making somebody feel at home when you wish they were at home. I'm sure we've never done that. And it can be hard work. It's extra shopping, it's extra dishes to do, it's extra beds to make up and sort out. But notice, God wants us to be people who not only do it, but are glad to do it. So when we're thinking of hospitality, we're not just to think about a certain activity. We're to think of a certain attitude. God wants us to be people who delight in sharing our home and in sharing our lives with others. Thirdly, it's ongoing. Hebrews 13, verse 2, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Hospitality is one of those things we can very easily neglect. Our sinful nature means we will naturally keep away from the kind of hospitality the Bible is talking about. It is a big deal to open up our lives, to open up our homes to people we might not know and who we might not be like. And the writer to the Hebrews assumes we will forget to do it. It can be one of those things that we think, well, just not this week. This week is out of the question, maybe next week. And too easily that can stretch out into months and even years. It is a discipline that we are to maintain. Hospitality is not something we make a big effort into doing maybe once or twice a year. It is an ongoing priority. And then finally, it's a blessing. That verse in Hebrews says that some have entertained angels without knowing it. We saw that in our first reading. Abraham was there, chilling out at home, and three men suddenly turn up. And so he swings into hospitality mode. He is the model of an attentive and gracious host. And it's only later that Abraham realizes he was actually hosting the Lord and his angels. Now, I don't think that the general point Hebrews is making is that, you know, you never know. You know, have people around and it might turn out one week that was Archangel Gabriel you fed some food to. No, I think the general point is hospitality is something God particularly loves to use and bless. And so you may never know what might come from your hospitality. I don't know what you would consider to be your main kind of spiritual resources or gifts in life, but don't underestimate what can happen for the kingdom around your kitchen table. It is a place God loves to use. Extraordinary things result from hospitality. It's often those unplanned conversations, the kind of ad hoc meeting of slightly different kinds of people. And sometimes ministries are born, sometimes lives are transformed. It is a huge blessing. God loves to use hospitality. So, the importance of hospitality, we're to do it. We're to do it gladly. We're to continue doing it. And as that happens, we will discover God uses it, often mightily. So, the importance of hospitality. Second thing for us to think about this morning is the impetus for hospitality. What is going to move us to do that kind of hospitality? Now, in the ancient world, travel was very difficult and quite dangerous. For us, travel is a feature of everyday life. If we need to go somewhere to stay, there's probably someone we know we can stay with, or else a few clicks on the internet and we'll find a travel lodge or somewhere to bed for the night. But in the ancient world, there weren't that many inns, and the ones that there were often unsafe and dangerous. It was much safer to go into a private home. And so the way it worked, I was looking into this week, if you were wanting to stay in a city, you would go to the city gate and you would wait there. The city gate was the main hub. That's where all the coming and going would happen. That's where business would be done. And that's where people would look for rooms. And you might have a few references on you to indicate you would be a good kind of person to have in the home. Christians would often carry a letter of recommendation from their church, again, to say that they would be a good person to have as a guest. And prospective hosts would also come to the city gate and to sort of check out and suss out whether you would be a safe bet to have indoors. And actually, you see this happening a number of times in the New Testament. But in the Bible, we are given a unique reason to practice hospitality. It's not just a practical expedient that it's in everyone's interests to do this because you never know when you might need it. No, we're to be hospitable to others because God has been hospitable to us. That's two verses that reflect that dynamic. In Leviticus, we're told the alien living with you must be treated as one of your native born. Love him as yourself, for you were aliens in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. In other words, when God rescued his people from Egypt and brought them into the land, God was practicing hospitality. He was bringing them in from the outside and giving them a home with him. Similarly, from Ephesians, the second passage, we're told you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Friends, our salvation is often spoken of in terms like that. And the big idea is this: God is a God who takes people in. And therefore, we are to be like that ourselves. As Christians, we've been saved by divine hospitality. We were far from God, but we've been brought into his presence. We were strangers, we're now part of his family, his household. God brings us into his home, and he seats us at his table. We had nothing going for us. We didn't have any connections. We didn't have any contacts. We weren't worthy. We weren't deserving. But God has welcomed us in, and he's done so through Christ, through the blood of Christ, as that verse says. We were included because Jesus was excluded. We were folded into God's household because Jesus was forsaken. He went through the opposite of hospitality. Hebrews tells us Jesus suffered and died outside the city gate. And because of that, God could take us in. And so, friends, the sign that we've received that hospitality to God is that we extend it to others. We long to be to others what God has been to us. And as we practice hospitality, it reinforces and deepens our own appreciation of what God has done for us. The American writer John Piper puts it this way. He says, when we practice hospitality, we experience the refreshing joy of becoming conduits of God's hospitality. He continues, the joy of receiving God's hospitality decays and dies if it doesn't flourish in our own hospitality to others. So, friends, a sign that God is in your heart is that others are in your home. As God touches us with his hospitality, we long to open up our home life to others. And similarly, friends, if our hearts are cold to doing that, that too may well be a sign that we've either lost sight of what God has done for us, or even perhaps that we've never received it in the first place. The impetus for hospitality: God is a God who takes people in. And therefore we want to reflect that and to be like him. Which leads on to our third and final point this morning, the practice of hospitality. And I want us to close by thinking through a few practical implications of all of this. Generally at St Mary's, I think we are good at welcoming people. I've heard a number of people say recently that they felt welcome arriving at St Mary's. I'm encouraged to hear that. And if that's the case, let's keep that up. That's great news. I suspect, though, that we are less good at hospitality. And if I'm honest, our Britishness, our Englishness, and dare I say it, our Berkshire-ness doesn't help us here. And those of you who've joined St Mary's from other cultures will have seen this, I'm sure, more clearly than we do. So let me offer a couple of practical corrections to how we might naturally think. And I'm conscious, because these are often the ways we naturally think, I may be touching a raw nerve or two. I do appreciate that. Firstly, home is not about privacy. It's very, traditional to think of an Englishman's home as his castle. That may well be a British way of thinking. I don't think it's a Christian way of thinking. Your home is not primarily your private hidey hole. No, your home is a resource that has been given to you to help and bless others. And that doesn't mean just having the same old usual suspects and gang of friends round again and again. It means reaching out to those who are different to you, those who are unfamiliar to you. Biblical hospitality is opening up our home life to people who move perhaps in different circles to us, who come from a different background, who belong to a different generation, or a different ethnic origin. And as we think about our hospitality to one another here at the 11 o'clock, a couple of questions to think about would be these. Who don't I know? Who in this congregation don't I know? For some of us, that may be many of us we don't know. But some of those people would be a great place to start in offering biblical hospitality. Of the people that I do know at the 11, who are those who may well be lonely? We might think of those who've lost people over the years, those who don't have families of their own, those going through trials. Home is not about privacy. And let me just say a quick word, if I may, to those of you with families. That includes those who are married without children, as well as those of you who do have children. Let me say this to you, friends. Your family is not an end in itself. Again, it's the way we're trained to think in our culture, that you get yourself a family and then you sort of mentally pull up the drawbridge. And we have a tendency, I think, to draw a very thick line around our nuclear family and make a very clear distinction between them and everyone else. Friends, that way of thinking is very recent. It's very Western. And I want to suggest it is very unhealthy. Biblically, your family is not an end in itself. It is the means to an end. It is a means God has given you of serving his purposes and blessing his people. And it's not just the case that other people need to be in your home. It's also the case that you need other people to be in your home. And again, if you have children, can I say it is a huge blessing for them to be part of a family that practices biblical hospitality. And so involve them in that. Make it a family ministry. And friends, can I share from my own experience of having known many, many families over the years in a number of different churches, being involved in family hospitality will do far more for your children's long-term flourishing than all the different after-school clubs and classes and all the other things that so often make us feel as though we can't do hospitality. So, one thing to offer. Home is not about privacy. And let me just say quickly, sorry, before I forget to those of us who are single, being single does not let us off the hook. It's easy for us to think, well, that's people with families, it's their job to do hospitality. Again, it's our responsibility as well. Some of us may live in shared accommodation where it's not always easy to bring others in and to open up our homes to them. But again, we have opportunities to maybe pair up with other singles and do this together. One of you cooks and uses the other person's home. We can do this as teams. Home is not about privacy. And secondly, as we finish, hospitality is not about performance. Struck me in thinking this through over recent weeks that there's a significant difference between Berkshire hospitality and Bible hospitality. Berkshire hospitality is about putting on a good show and impressing our guests. And the more that becomes the case, the more our hospitality will become increasingly infrequent and increasingly lavish. And by the same token, a number of others of us will be thinking, well, I can't do hospitality because I'm not a good enough cook, or my home isn't big enough or tidy enough. But friends, biblical hospitality is about sharing our lives with others. Letting people into your actual life, not your idealized life. And I find that not making a fuss actually is more likely to make someone feel like they're part of the family. In the last several months, I've been invited by one family round for Sunday lunch where we had beans on toast. And they said, do you still want to come even though it's only going to be beans on toast? And I felt very touched that they still wanted me to come even though it was beans on toast. I went round to see another family. We'd arranged to catch up over a meal and they said, I'm sorry, it's just been one of those days, so we're having a ready meal. And again, I felt so encouraged. They could easily have said, it's been one of those days, so we're not going to have you round. But instead, they served up a ready meal. It doesn't matter. I felt like I was actually included in their real life. Friends, it doesn't matter if it's paper plates. It doesn't matter if you end up with some people sat on the floor, some sat up the stairs because you don't have a big enough dining table. Let's be those who practice biblical hospitality and not Berkshire hospitality. Now, friends, we need to draw to a close. There are lots of other things we could say. Because this is Congregational Sunday, I've been focusing mainly on our hospitality to one another. But of course, biblical hospitality includes the world around us and those outside our church family. Biblical hospitality, similarly, is not just inviting people into our physical home, but welcoming people into our spiritual home at church, bringing people to our spiritual family. That is hospitality too. But above all, what we need to do is to be to one another and the world around us what God has been to us. A God who takes people in, who gives them a home, and who sits them at his table. So let's practice biblical hospitality. let's continue to practice it. Let's do so gladly. And let's look forward to seeing how the Lord uses that in our life together. Let's pray. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Our Father, we pray that we would take those words very much to heart. We pray that our longing would be to do for others what you have done for us. And so please remind us afresh of the welcoming love that you've extended to us. Our Father, as from time to time as a church congregation we come to your table, would that be an impetus for us to open our table to others? And we pray, our Father, that as we welcome people into our home, it might even be a means by which you welcome people into your family. And we pray in Jesus' name, Amen.